Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, we had a warm-up Thursday night into Friday morning, and now the main event bearing down on us weather-wise. And we'll certainly keep you up to date on that. Steve Kearney joins us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. He's been joining us for years here on the weekend. Steve-O, how you been?
I'm a little depressed, Steve, watching this weather coming in. It's going to be very impactful up here in the northwestern part of Minnesota. It's kind of funny. I just checked the weather, and now they're saying 3 to 16 inches up here. So who knows? But it's a setback. You know, any way you look at it throughout the whole state of Minnesota, everybody's going to get it. And it's going to keep the water temperatures, you know, very cold, and those crappies are going to stay out very deep. And, you know, it's going to set us back a couple of weeks, I think, from the looks of things.
Yeah, the one thing, though, we have talked about for weeks and weeks as we closed out what was a tough ice fishing season, particularly, you know, here in the cities. It was just, you know, too mild. But we really need the moisture. And, you know, at this time of year, I think a lot of us would prefer just straight-up rain, but there is no doubt We need the moisture, whether it's rain or snow.
Yeah, it's kind of a hassle, and we're going to have to put up with a couple days of it, and it looks significant. But, yeah, we need the moisture. A lot of the lakes in northern Minnesota, northwestern Minnesota are super low. So, you know, bring on the moisture. We need it. It's going to help a lot, even though we got a little bit of a roadblock. There was a little news this week, Steve, on Lake Traverse. You know, we talk about Traverse and Big Stone a lot. They had a fish kill last week that they're kind of investigating right now. It sounds like it's a disease called gas bubble disease, which kind of a combination of algae that's growing underneath the ice and then a fast rise in oxygen, which really killed thousands of rough fish like drum, freshwater drum, some walleye, some crappies, but it looks like it's mostly a rough fish kill so far. But it goes to show you, you know, we had a very mild winter. We had no snow cover, so that, you know, sun was penetrating through the ice and, you know, promoting algae growth and weed growth, and it was kind of a phenomenon. And that's the only lake I know of right now that has had issues. I think there's a couple lakes in southern Minnesota that had a kill as well, but they're still checking it out, and, you know, we'll know more in another week or two, but that is such a huge destination for Minnesota and South Dakota, North Dakota people. I mean, that's a big deal. And, you know, we'll have to see, you know, how things shake out.
All right, Steve, you're at the Missouri River. You did an update from Sioux Falls. You're at a show there. But our reports on the Missouri River, how would you rate it?
Oh, I thought it was great. I mean, I had 2 days of 75 degrees, dead calm. I had a couple of guests from southern Minnesota. We had a great couple days. But, you know, the weather out there is not any better, you know, than here. It looks like 30s and 40s. And, you know, it looks like we've got about 10 days, you know, maybe till about the 5th or 7th, I'm thinking about April, before things kind of rebound. And then we hit 50, and that's going to start bringing those crappies into the shallows. But it's, you don't be in any hurry. I mean, it looks like it's cold, you know, out in the Missouri River area and most of Minnesota, so we've got to get through this probably 10-day stretch, and then things are going to improve dramatically. So we're just kind of in a wait-and-see. You know, a few of my cronies have been out poking around on crappies. They're finding them pretty funny. They're finding them in winter spots, you know, out in deeper basins that we, you know, catch fish in February and January. So they're still kind of hanging out in their winter spots. But we get, you know, a week, 10 days, get some 50s, get some 60s. It'll be up in the shallows, and we'll have a tremendous bite, really, through the whole month of April, hopefully, you know, if things change.
Yeah, and with this big storm bearing down once again, winter storm warnings up from eastern Montana through much of North and South Dakota, and then pretty much all of central and northern Minnesota, even parts of southern Minnesota, and then northern Wisconsin. So this is a big storm moving in, and I would assume you're going to lay low, hunker down for a couple of days.
Well, you know, that's all you can do. And, you know, also on the flip side, Steve, when we get this type of moisture and this runoff, it's going to affect the Rainy River up in northern Minnesota, the St. Croix, the Mississippi, and all these rivers are going to start running pretty hot and heavy, you know, especially if we get 12 or 14 inches of snow. And that's going to change things, you know, for people fishing rivers. So you want to keep that in mind. And, you know, that can have a tendency to dirty up the water and bring debris down. And we'll just have to kind of see how extensive this is. But, yeah, we're in a wait and see. My boat's sitting in the garage. It's very lonely. I feel bad. I want to get back out again. But it's going to be a while.
All right. So you're going to lay low for a couple of days. What's in the immediate plans? Maybe end of the week? Looks like temps might head in the right direction.
Oh, boy, Steve, I don't know. I don't think it's fast enough and quick enough.
Right.
It looks like, it's going to be laying low probably this whole week. And,
right,
you know, just getting preparations done, getting the boat tweaked and getting equipment ready. And, you know, there's plenty of time to do that. So that's what I'm working on, and climbing the walls like every other angler in Minnesota right now.
All right, Steve, good to visit with you. We'll do it again next week.
Hey, sounds great, Steve. Have a great day.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday between 5 and 6 with Rob Dreisline from the Outdoor News. Great show every Sunday between 5 and 6. Once again, sports schedules permitting, but you can count on that with Rob from the Outdoor News Sunday between 5 and 6. Quick break, we'll come back. NCAA Men's Tournament, NCAA Women's Tournament, and oh, by the way, Championship Saturday at the Boys State Basketball Tournament. We have two titles decided, two to go. We'll get into that coming up here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, you had the Timberwolves over the Cavaliers last night. More on the Wolves later. By the way, Twins Red Sox, Grapefruit League, late afternoon, 5 o'clock start our time. An evening game, 6 o'clock start Eastern time down in Fort Myers. Twins Red Sox on the radio beginning at 5. All right. Championship Saturday over at Williams Arena at the U. The barn is buzzing today. Two title games in the books and two to come. And here's what we've got. We have a 1A champ, and it was Cherry from the Iron Range beating Fertile Belt Trammy 78-40 today. Cherry wins the title. And Noah Asuma, 22 points to lead the way in that one. Once again, Cherry, your 1A champ. Meanwhile, in the 3A championship game, the number one seed, Totino Grace held off Mankato East. East battled all day, but the Eagles win it 73-64 of the final. And then later today at 5 o'clock, it'll be Breck against Lake City for the 2A crown. And then the nightcap at 8 at the barn, Minnetonka and Wayzata. The Trojans are the defending champs. It is a late conference showdown tonight at 8 at Williams Arena. Some other games today as other hardware is handed out. 1A consolation final, Heritage Christian beat Russell Tyler Ruthven 63-62. Third place over at Concordia St. Paul, it was Nevis beating West Central Area 64-51. 3A third place, it was De La Salle beating Alexandria 58-53. We don't have a final yet in that 2A third place game over at Concordia, Minnehaha Academy and Albany, and they'll still decide 4A third place. And that is just underway. Creighton, Durham, Hall, and Egan once again, 4A third place game. So you're up to date. High school hoops championship Saturday. NCAA men well underway. That started earlier in the week with the first four. And you have the NCAA women's tournament underway. One of the number one seeds, Iowa, in action today. And with all of those scores, we're going to turn it over to my good friend, Jonathan Lowe.
Thank you so much, Mr. Thompson, as we are in the March Madness favor right now, as Steve just said. We are in the second round of the tournament for the men, the second day of the first round for the women. Let's start on the men's side. They are getting ready to close out the Salt Lake City sub-regional, and it is right now Gonzaga, the 5 seed, in the Midwest region, leading 4 seed Kansas 82-60 with about 3.5 minutes to go. Gonzaga has been on fire shooting in the second half, and they have pulled away from Kansas after trailing by 1 at the half. The earlier game in Salt Lake City, it was 2nd seed out West Arizona beating 7th seed Dayton 78-68. Coming up next, it'll be the Charlotte sub-regional. In the West, it's number 1 seed North Carolina taking on 9th seeded Michigan State. That game is set to tip in about 25 minutes. Then later in it'll be in Omaha, the start of the Omaha sub-regional. 2nd seeded Iowa State taking on 7th seeded Washington State in the East region. That starts in just under an hour. The first game in the South region between number 11 seed NC State and 14th seeded Oakland gets underway. That's out in Pittsburgh at 6:10 tonight. Then it'll be the second games in the other 3 regionals. Charlotte first, 2nd seed in the Midwest, Tennessee, taking on 7th seed Texas. That's at 7 o'clock, half an hour after the Michigan State-North Carolina game. The second game in Omaha tonight, 3rd seed in the East, Illinois, taking on 11th seed upset-minded Duquesne. That's going to be around 7:40. And then the second game in Pittsburgh, number 3 seed in the Midwest, Creighton, taking on 11th seed Oregon. That is set to tip around 8:40 tonight again, depending on how Oakland and NC State finish up this evening. Now to the women's tournament, 2nd day of the first round. And so you got a lot of teams in action, and it's coming down to the wire in some of these places. In Storrs, Connecticut, 6th seed Syracuse taking on 11th seeded Arizona with about 3:15 left in the fourth quarter. The Wildcats lead the Orange 64-61. So looking at an upset potential in Storrs, Connecticut. It is number 5 seed Oklahoma taking on 12th seeded Florida Gulf Coast. And right now the Eagles upsetting the Sooners midway through the third quarter, 45-42. So watch out for that game as we go later into the evening. 7th seed in the Albany region is Ole Miss. They're taking on number 10 seed Marquette, and it is right now Ole Miss leading midway through the second quarter, 26-22. Out in Los Angeles, top seed in one of the Portland regionals, USC battling 16-seeded Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And right now the Trojans lead midway through the second quarter, 24-13. Coming up later this evening, it'll be number 8-seed West Virginia and number 9-seed Princeton. That'll be in Iowa City. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. It'll be number 7-seed Creighton taking on 10th-seeded UNLV. That'll be later this evening. 4-seed Gonzaga against number 13-seed UC Irvine. Number two seed out in Los Angeles, also hosting Crosstown. UCLA, they'll be in action taking on 15th seeded California Baptist. That'll be late tonight. And then number five seed Utah will take on 12th seeded South Dakota State. That'll be the last game to tip this evening. Finals from earlier today, as Steve mentioned, number one seed Iowa. They take down Holy Cross, the 16th seed, 91-65. Caitlin Clark, 27 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds for the Hawkeye star. Second seed Notre Dame, they take down 15th seed Kent State, 81-67. In stores, it was number 3 seed UConn defeating 14th seed Jackson State, 86-64. In Raleigh, 3rd seed NC State over 14th seed Chattanooga, 64-45. In Bloomington, 4 seed out of the Big Ten, Indiana, they take down 13th seeded Fairfield, 89-56. In Raleigh, it was number 6 seed Tennessee taking out 11th seeded Green Bay, 92-63. And just finished out in Los Angeles, 8 seeded Kansas in overtime taking down 9th seeded Michigan, 81-72. So that's all the scores for right now. We will have an update on the scores after the Twins game tonight. So I will stay behind and we'll get you out of the Twins game. I'll have all these scores. I'll have all the scores from the high school tournament as it winds up. The stuff going on today, Steve has some more stuff on golf and on other stuff. I'll have more updates on that probably around 8:15 this evening after the Twins and Red Sox end tonight.
All right. Very good, Jonathan. And Iowa Holy Cross, inevitably, when I see Holy Cross, I think of their epic upset all those years ago of Minnesota in men's hockey. I wouldn't let that happen today. Iowa took care of business. And it wasn't a particularly great day for Caitlin Clark, particularly early. You know, we expect so much. We expect superstar performances every game from Caitlin Clark, but Iowa prevails. And this is
something that people have talked about. I'm going to mention something here, and I haven't had a chance to for a bit. Scoring dynamo, phenomenal with scoring. Did she leave some work on the defensive side? Yes. But people have talked about her passing records, and especially the scoring records, with Kelsey Plum from Washington for the NCAA women's scoring record. Then it was Lynette Woodard for the major college scoring record. Then it was Pistol Pete Maravich for the NCAA Division I all-time record, men or women. So they've been talking about this overall. But what people haven't really noticed, they mentioned it briefly when she passed this mark, but no one's really honed in on this. She's the only player that I know of in any level of college basketball, especially Division I, but at any level of college basketball, you're talking Division II, Division III, NAIA, that has 3,000 points and 1,000 assists.
Yeah.
She's the only person to have that. She is, I believe now, within 50 rebounds of getting 1,000 rebounds for her career. So if she goes deep in this tournament and she gets to 3,000-plus points, 1,000-plus rebounds, and 1,000-plus assists, that, to me, no matter whether you're talking men or women, is the most diverse, the most complete offensive player that's ever played college basketball, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is no doubt. She did get off to a slow start from the field, but here's how she finished. 8 of 19 from the field, so not a great day field goal percentage-wise. 3 of 9 from outside the arc by her standard. But still, 8 of 9 from the free throw line, 8 total rebounds, 10 assists, 27 points in the game. So we kind of like, it wasn't a great day for Caitlin Clark, and she almost put up a triple-double in the win today. That's where the expectations are. She was phenomenal in the Big Ten tournament here.
And she's not going to catch the all-time leaders, because the all-time leaders have more than 4,000 points. She's just not going to – she doesn't have enough time to get there, especially now since she's declared that she's going to be going into the WNBA draft. But going into this game, it looks like she had 944 rebounds. She had 8. Now, yes, she is at 952. She's under 50 rebounds. I want to see how far they get in this tournament and how many rebounds she's getting. That number is gargantuan. 3,000, 1,000, 1,000 in 4 years?
Yeah, it's incredible.
You've never seen it before, and I don't know if you'll ever see it again.
No. And the tournament's had the men's tournament has had a lot of upsets. I didn't see Kansas getting beat by 20. They lose by 21 in the final. Gonzaga just beat Kansas 89-68. This wasn't a great Kansas team, but they get thumped in Salt Lake by 21.
And this was the worst part. I've had some bad patches of the bracket. This was the worst patch of the bracket for me. I had both McNeese State and Samford beating Gonzaga and Kansas respectively on Thursday, and neither one panned out. But at the same time, the reason, like you said, Kansas was not deep this year. There were flaws in some of these higher teams, and now two of them are out. Two of them I'll mention. Kentucky played almost zero defense. Alabama plays almost zero defense. Kentucky's out. Alabama moved on, but we'll see how they fare tomorrow. Kansas had little depth, if any. They had. I won't say they didn't have any depth, but they had very little depth. And so because of that, if you get a team that has that can play 9-10 players, they give you the opportunity to get a lot of reps in and to wear that Kansas team down. And it was an up-and-down first half, and then Gonzaga went through the roof shooting-wise. They got nuclear hot, and that helped them out to win this game.
Yeah, they win by 21. By the way, Golden Gopher men, they're at Indiana State tomorrow at 1. Second round of the NIT. Meanwhile, the Golden Gopher women played their first game, second round of the women's NIT, and they will play Pacific at the Barn, and that's not until Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. So good thing they're not playing on Monday for sure on that one. So there you go. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll have an update on that weather. Winter storm warning goes into effect, and this is a big one. And the further north you go, the more snow we're going to get. We'll still see snow here in the cities. But when it changes over to rain, that is the gigantic question here in the greater Twin Cities area. We'll sort it out in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Steve Thompson, Jonathan Lowe in today. Chris Paddock on the mound after five. Twins and Red Sox from Fort Myers, and spring training rapidly winding down. Twins open the season in Kansas City on Thursday. By the way, the weather looks really good in Kansas City. I took a peek. Sunny, 68 degrees forecasted for Kansas City on opening day on Thursday. Scheduled day off Friday, Twins back at it with game two of the season. Then they make a stop in Milwaukee before opening the season at Target Field. And joining us on the line, he covers the Twins for the Star Tribune, Phil Miller, online at startribune.com. And Phil, here we go. It's been a long run at spring training, but the real games begin very soon.
They do this coming Thursday. Everything wrapping up the clubhouse, the everything in the Twins compound looks like one big moving site. They have two big trucks and they're loading them up and here we go.
Now I was going to ask you kind of on the coverage side. You cover the Twins year round with Bobby Nightingale, who came over from the Reds beat. And how do you and Bobby kind of divide up road trips, who's going where? Or is that maybe an editor that makes that decision?
It's the three of us, basically. We sit down are there any trips that stick out that you that somebody in particular should go to? I have grandkids in Boston, so I like that series. Bobby covered, like you say, the Reds, so he has a lot of colleagues that he knows in the NL cities, so he takes a lot of those. And it's basically back and forth, but with some minor changes here and there. About when Lavelle and I were doing it 5 years ago, we had 2 or 3 years where we each had exactly 81 games, which is not easy to make it come out that way.
Wow. Yeah, for sure, especially the way the schedule goes. Twins and Royals and all the various trips. And now the fact that you're seeing every team in the major leagues, we've had one season of that. What are your thoughts on this schedule? You know, you're playing division foes, not as much as you used to, which I think is a good team. But one way or another, you're seeing everyone in the big leagues. Do you like it?
Yeah, I they do. A lot of the National League cities, it wasn't a schedule that you could count on year to year, and so we went a decade without getting to Arizona, for instance. And now it's pretty much you see every place every other year. I think it's good for the team. I think it's good for the fans. No offense to Detroit, Cleveland, Kansas City, and Chicago, but going there twice a year instead of three times seems like a reasonable adjustment to make too. I do think the players like it. I think it makes them, I've heard them say, it makes them feel more connected to the league as a whole, rather than, they were just, the divisions made it feel like you were in these separate pods that you only occasionally get out of during the season.
Yeah, and a lot of games in the division. 19 games once upon a time. With the clubs in the American League Central. It just felt a bit excessive. Phil Miller joining us from the Star Tribune. Phil, the Twins have, had some bad injury news, particularly in the bullpen. Their closer, Duran, Thielbar, and, of course, one of the guys who came over in a trade and figured to be a part of this rotation. So the injury news has not been good as of late.
Yeah, it's actually been a fairly injury-free camp until just these last few weeks, and it's really only hitting the pitching staff. The loss of Anthony DeSclafani was a blow to the plans, but I don't know that they were counting on him to be an important part of the rotation. He was more the fifth starter. He's going to have, it looks like he'll see the doctor on Monday and they'll determine if he's going to have surgery. But I think everyone here assumes that that's going to happen and he'll never pitch for the Twins, almost certainly. It means they go into the season without the depth at AAA that they were counting on. Louis Varland moves up into the rotation, and I would be on the lookout for the Twins maybe picking somebody up on the waiver wire this week if a pitcher that they think maybe can contribute mid-season or so winds up available. Now Duran is another case. He had really come into his own as a ninth inning guy. They do, after the spring that Griffin Jacks had and Brock Stewart had, Griffin Jacks was just lights out all spring. I think they feel like they can get by, and I don't think that they expect Duran to be out more than 3 weeks, possibly all of April, but they don't, it's not an arm injury. And I saw him riding a stationary bike today and working to get back. So that's going to be a loss. Caleb Thielbar means they need, they're going to count on Stephen Okert to be their left-handed specialist. All minor things, but the health of the starting eight on the field is the good news of this camp, because it's been a while since that's been the case.
Yeah, and really, Royce Lewis in his brief major league career has had injury trouble. And then of course, Byron Buxton, which is a big story. And then, of course, Carlos Correa, the health. And the thought, once again, is going into this season, if you have those three guys available more times than not, somewhere in the middle of the lineup, that will bode well for the Twins' production this year.
They won the division last year, and they won 85 games with their top two highest paid, highest profile stars in the lineup. Carlos Correa had the worst season of his career. Byron Buxton's season was never the same after April, hobbled the whole year. Both of them are very excited about going into this year healthy. Byron Buxton is just a different man this year. You can just see what a lift it is for him to be able to play every day. And you take those guys, you add Carlos Santana, who has had a great spring debuting here. They've got some young talent coming up, and this last week the injury news has been a little tougher, but I think overall they would take this breaking camp over the situation in any of the last 3 or 4 years.
Phil Miller joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, covers the Twins for the Star Tribune. Twins and Red Sox coming up at 5. Chris Paddock will get the start in that game today as spring training winds down in Fort Myers. Paddock is an important guy in all of this. He showed, certainly when he came back to the club, that he's got the stuff. Now the question, every fifth day, can he take the ball and give the Twins quality starts?
He is very optimistic as well. He feels great. He showed a lot down the stretch last year. He cuts an interesting figure in the clubhouse. He's a country guy. He wears a cowboy hat and cowboy boots, so he's hard to miss. And he is I think he feels like this is as healthy as he's been in 4 or 5 years, and he is looking forward to starting the season and show what he can do. His career has kind of been on hold the last couple of years, and he's awfully excited. Like I say, that they don't have much depth behind their starting five anymore. So I think they had hoped to maybe ease him back a little more, but that's not really going to be the case. He's going to be the number three or four guy, and counted on to do a lot. But if early results are any indication, he feels really good.
Brooks Lee is sent to St. Paul, won't start the year with the club, but the thought is that he will be in the big leagues at some point, and maybe in the big leagues to stay here in 2024.
One of the stars of the camp. There's a lot of excitement about him. I know there was a discussion about of whether or not they could keep him on the team, but he doesn't really have a position right at the moment. That they don't have any positions open, so and he's only played half a season, and not even that, in AAA. So he will start down there, but they were awfully intrigued by the spring he had. I'm almost sure he led the team in hits, and that's facing major league pitching day to day, a step up for him. And he adjusted very well, hit his first home run in Port Charlotte a couple of days ago on St. Patrick's Day. He was pretty excited about that, being Irish. So he's had a great spring. They sent him down just because of his age and inexperience, but I would think it's pretty guaranteed that we're going to see him at Target Field this season.
All right, Phil. Well, always good to visit with you. Thanks for the time today. And here we go. Big league season starts for the Twins on Thursday in Kansas City. And as I mentioned at the top, the weather looks really good in Kansas City for the opener on Thursday.
All right. Well, if I don't see it before then, happy opening day, Steve.
All right. There he is, Phil Miller, joining us from the Star Tribune. And by the way, Twins and Red Sox coming up around the corner. We'll have it for you at 5 o'clock, a rare evening game in Fort Myers. Of course, starts at 5 our time, 6 Eastern time, here on the home of the Twins. News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is the Twins and the Red Sox Grapefruit League action at 5. Season opener Thursday in Kansas City. And while we have a winter storm warning going into effect tomorrow morning at 10, heavy wet snow, strong winds, it'll change to rain the further north. The longer the event, the more snow will continue to keep you up to date on that. But the weather in Kansas City for the opener, how good would that be? And I know a lot of Twins fans head to Kansas City whenever the home nine's down there. Sunny and 68 on Thursday. That sounds really good, Jonathan, to be at the K.
I wish I was going to be there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds really, really good. By the way, Timberwolves, they got a win over Cleveland. Of course, Cat on the shelf. We're not really going to know when Cat will be available. No timetable for his return right now, but Anthony Edwards shining bright. Timberwolves beat the Cavaliers 104-91. They'll play the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors and Timberwolves tomorrow night at 6 at Target Center. Then the Timberwolves get a bit of a break. Detroit in town on Wednesday, and then they'll be in Denver to play the Nuggets on Friday night. Meanwhile, the Wild, they drop one. They played a matinee against the Blues today. Blues win it in overtime and get the extra point. And the Wild just trying to stay relevant in the playoff race. They got a point today. Problem is the Blues got two there. And the Loons, they are idle off to a surprisingly good start. A very surprising start considering all the turmoil in the offseason. And quick update on golf. The Valspar Championship down in Florida. Keith Mitchell holes out for eagle on 18. He's at 10 under par. Two shots clear. Power, Hughes, Maldotti, Phillips. Not a ton of big names. Cameron Young lurks. He's a good player. Three off the lead heading into the final round of the Valspar. One thought on that. I know the LIV Tour has poached a lot of players. A lot of big names, but their names were made on the PGA Tour, Jonathan Lowe.
You have to have seasoning. You don't just come in and be a star. There are people that come in and they're touted as stars, but then you see them play and they flame out or they bust. You got to grow stars to have stars.
Yeah, and I think week in, week out on the PGA Tour, and that's what LIV doesn't have, a plan to grow the game, give an opportunity for young players to build their name and grow their star, if you will. Twins and Red Sox, Grapefruit League action coming up. Big thanks to Jonathan Lowe. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great Saturday night here at CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.